Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. That is all unqualified praises due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praises due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All praises due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ And revealed in the last ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, his is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. Wa nashhadu anna, and we bear open and sound testimony, Muhammadan abduhu rasulu. For Rasul, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa Allah send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, wa ala alihi and upon his family, wa sahbihi and upon his companion, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa Jumu'ah Mubarak. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawadda wa rahma inna fi dhalika layatun liqawmin yattafakkirun. This is the 21st ayah of the 30th surah, Surah Ar-Rum. And an expression of it is, and from among his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find peace, tranquility, and establishment in them. And we have put between you love and mercy. Surely in that are signs for those who grasp the concept. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Two reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them says, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah provides with a righteous wife, Allah has assisted him in half of his religion. Let him be regardful of Allah concerning the second half. Another report, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the world is provision and entertainment, and the best provision and entertainment in the world is a righteous woman. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we're back on the road addressing the subject of the five obligations for building ummah, those five: family, intellect, religion, quote-unquote, more to be explained as we go, religion, the self, and property or material life. And we've been addressing under the theme, family, our future. And we've gone a long way on that, but there's still further to go, obviously. And whenever we end or cap off our treatment of this part of it, family, it won't be complete with us. It's a lifetime study, and you won't be finished when you pass from this world. But alhamdulillah, we're going to make a contribution and, mashallah, try to leave a mark, as it were. And the segment here is, problem here? They have some problem with the sound in the back. I don't know if that's... can be helped. I'll speak a little louder. And today it's marriage. It's marriage, literally. We've said a lot about marriage, but today it is, to marry is half of the way of life. To marry is half of the way of life. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever will guarantee me what is between their teeth and what is between their legs, I will guarantee them paradise. Another report, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet, what are the two things that are the fastest reasons for going to paradise? And the Prophet replied, taqwa and good character. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he asked, what are the two things that are the most frequent reasons for people going to hell? And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they say and what is between their legs. Fastest way to paradise, taqwa, good character. Fastest way to hell, what you say and what you do with your private parts. Where most all of us are familiar with this hadith that tells us that to marry is half of the religion, and so have fear, taqwa for God, with regard to the second half. It's a very familiar hadith to us. We want to take it down a level, because most times when that's read, and in some ways there's evidence that it's generally understood to mean that just get married, and you got it half done. You know, just put two bodies together, make your oath, for marriage, okay, that's half of the work. Now all I have to do is keep taqwa and have fear for God with regard to the other half. But as you would surmise, it's not that simple. Not that simple. It helps to have at least a positive attitude towards marriage, a sacred even attitude towards marriage. But if that's where it stops for you, that's what we want to put an end today for sure, at least extend your understanding with the grace and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here's the understanding and understanding. Allah knows best. When you marry, you cultivate half of what you need to get to paradise, and you protect yourself from half of what takes you to hell. Yeah, I repeat. When you marry, you cultivate half of what you need to get to paradise. That's half of the ticket, okay? And we still have yet to define what marriage really means. But when you marry, you cultivate half of what you need to get to paradise, and you protect yourself from half of what will take you to hell. Now, so let's go back and take a look at that report from Abu Huraira. He asked the Prophet, what are the two things that are the fastest reasons for going to paradise? The Prophet's answer was taqwa and good character, those two things. Taqwa and good character. You just take it mathematically, half of what gets to paradise, what gets us to paradise is taqwa. That's half. The other half is good character. All right? So the whole ticket is taqwa and good character. So that's 50%, to use it from a mathematical perspective. Then 50% of it is good character, which is what we're focused on right now. So now expanding what is meant by marriage. Marriage is not just physical. Marriage is not just two people living under the same roof, sleeping in the same bed. That's not the end of marriage. Okay? Marriage is an institution. Marriage is a process. Marriage is a lot of things. Okay? So when you practice marriage in accordance with marriage as is defined by Allah and the Prophet in Al-Islam, that will cultivate in you good character. Marriage practiced well and right builds in and cultivates in the married individuals, both the male and the female. It cultivates in them good character. And I don't have statistics in front of me, but it's a very important paper that we would read often in the Merriam conferences that we had. But suffice it to say that academic study and research has demonstrated that married people who are married, have less proclivity to engage in crime and all the other things that undermine society, that undermine the person's character. Just married people, just as a rule, don't do that. So marriage protects from that perspective because it's something in its nature that I can't be involved in that, because if that goes left, it's like, whoa, that's not good, right? But there are many, many other numbers. Maybe at another time I bring those stats back. At least five or six specific things that marriage prohibits in the lives of the person, and therefore in a community, that is zip code that we live in. If there were more marriages where they are really married and respecting and holding as sacred as they should, then you're going to have less of those kinds of blighting circumstances in those neighborhoods. So marriage practiced and respected in its sacredness breeds good character. It's the cause and effect of good character, marriage. And that good character, which also incorporates safeguarding the tongue and the private part. So good character incorporates being regardful of the tongue and being regardful of guarding the private parts. Good character is in all of that. And that good character, which is born of marriage, it also covers half of those things that most frequently are the reason for people going to hell. Remember, good character is going to cause you to watch your tongue and watch your private parts. So what is between the legs is protected. The taqwa remains in that second half of attributes and qualities needed to not go to hell. So I have my little formula. If I was working on a whiteboard, I would show you. But let me see. I'll use the whiteboard of your mind, right? So you have taqwa, good character. Then you have taqwa and what you say and guarding your private part. Taqwa, good character, what you say, private part. These two get you to paradise. These two take you to hell. Good character, which will also include what you say and the guarding of your private parts, that takes care of part number one over here of the paradise section. And then it also takes out the, quote unquote, the necessity for the protection of the private parts, because respecting marriage causes you, when practiced correctly, causes you to respect the sanctity of the marriage, and so therefore you maintain the sanctity of the private part, so you got that part covered. The taqwa is the part that still holds. Taqwa and what you say with your tongue on the hell train. I'm sorry, on the hell train. You still have taqwa and the saying, literally, to do the math, to work out the correlates in those two. So what with all that is to say what? You still, the taqwa is the piece that remains. Watch your mouth, watch your private parts, develop your good character. Marriage is going to do that. Marriage, okay, you got that, you're going to do that, but you're not finished. That's half of it. How are we going to get the other half done? The other half is taqwa. Really, really, really important. Just ask yourself right now, how do I really understand taqwa? I mean, do I really understand taqwa, right? Now, somebody asked me this, just for example. Somebody asked me, what do you know about health? I don't know, I can say some good things about health, but it won't be, you know what I'm saying? You won't be able to live on what I tell you about health from a scientific, deliberate, conscious point of view. But you can ask somebody else who is their field. That's what they do. That's what they study. That's what they know. And things that we who don't know really what health is in a technical way, it's like, we would have to admit that we're probably barely scratching the surface of those of us who don't know, laymen, let's put it like that, right? Not even a health hobbyist. When I say layman, the person who has that health knowledge, it's like they may not be PhD, they may not be working in clinics, they may not know that, but if they are a health hobbyist, they know a whole lot more than Shu'aib and others who have, you know, quote unquote, good sense in that sense, but they don't really know hell. Okay, the point that I'm seeking to make is ask yourself, compare what I just said with regard to my knowledge, limited knowledge of hell, and then you ask yourself that about taqwa. Ask yourself about taqwa. How far could you go if someone off the street or some whatever walk up and say, I heard Muslims believe in taqwa. Tell me about it. How long is that conversation going to be with you? So that means then if we don't have this deliberate, conscious knowledge deeper than just how it's translated, then we don't know the critical key to the other half of our Islamic life. That's half of our Islamic life, taqwa. So let that be an emphatic reminder to put yourself in a position to own the knowledge of that word, taqwa. Don't be passive about it. You want to know it, because I'll say it again. It's half of our way of life. You know, brothers and sisters, words mean what they make you do. You know, we're fond of going to a dictionary, or Google nowadays. You know, so, you got online dictionaries, you got Google, you got different little sources. You open up the phone and say, "What's the definition of whatever epigenetics, whatever?" And they say, "The epigenetics is blah 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 blah." So AI. So you don't have to go too far to quote unquote get dictionary type answers. But the critical thing is not the dictionary type of it, and here's a little sidebar lesson for as far as language is concerned. Dictionaries are only hints, H-I-N-T-S, for people who already know the area that the word is to be applied. So you read a sentence and you hit this word, what is that word, right? Okay, so you go to AI, go to Google, go to dictionary, and dictionary says, okay, this is what it means, all right? And the dictionary may give you several entries. You have to choose out of those entries based on the context of what brought you to the question and say, it's this one. Oh, okay, boom. So now you fit that in there, then you can read the sentence and you can go on reading. But what have you gotten? You've gotten the one that fits the context that took you to the dictionary, all right? So now, if we're reading an edition, let's just call it the 18th edition today. So your definition came from the 18th edition of American Thorndike, whatever. All right, 18th. Well, what was it in the 15th? What was it in the 12th? What was it in the 9th? What was it in the 6th? You see where I'm going? So it's like, okay, oh no, it was taken out there, now it was changed to mean this, now it used to mean that, but now it means this, and it means so. Where's the stability in a dictionary? Right? So the critical thing is not textually for your life. I'm talking about for your life. The critical thing is not textually what the word says in the dictionary. And I'm speaking very specifically now, what matters is, what does it mean to you? Now, for us as Muslims, we must, the Quran has to be our dictionary. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has to be our dictionary, okay? Our expositor of what is in the Quran. Right? That's the real dictionary. Put those two things together. Now you have, okay, what does it mean from this textual perspective, from this religious practice perspective? What does the Quran say? What does Muhammad say? All right? Find that okay, now you have a concrete technical definition of whatever it is we're talking about. Obviously, today we're talking about marriage. It doesn't stop there, but you're at a very important place to, taqwa. Okay, prophet said this about, Quran said this about taqwa. The prophet said this about taqwa, et cetera. And, of course, you learn from the companions of the prophet, peace be upon them, because they were the ones who were practicing it at the time and in the presence of the prophet, so then you can look at their demonstration as an example. Okay, they got it right, because words mean what they make you do. So what did the companions do when it came to whatever terminology we're talking about? And, of course, again, we're talking about marriage today. All right, so then the point is that it is the practice that actually defines the term based on what I've just said. The Quran says this about that. The Hadith says this about that. The companions practice this in regard to that. So now you can box that in and say, okay, so I need to come at it based on these matters. Then I can feel like I'm doing it right. All right? Now set that aside. What the Quran says, what the prophet says, what the companions practice. All right. That's the best dictionary for whatever it is I'm talking about. All right. Now, every day outside of the Muslim community, outside of the masjid, outside, human beings, you know from a human being what a word means to them by the way they act in connection with that word. Oh, man, I'm about to split, man. Somebody who don't know, where is, you gonna split? What can I do? How can I help? No, man, I'm just about to leave. Oh, that's what it means. Man, I'm headed for the crib, man. Well, you're 60 years old. You got a crib? Cribs for babies. Yeah, man, I'm going to see my baby, too. You see, words mean what they make you do. Can you dig it, man? I know I'm talking to old. You bunch of old folks in here anyway. That's just a joke. Can you dig it? You picking up what I'm putting down? I'm going real super fly on y'all, man. So the point is, that's a whole separate vocabulary. But there's a behavior that goes with the vocabulary. That's reality. You know what I'm saying? That's reality. That point, it's like, put yourself in an observer, anthropological position and step back and listen to somebody's conversation and look at it, and you'll see what things mean to them. How do you know? By what they say and how they behave. All right. See, when you hear salat, that word, salat, what does it mean to you? Well, what it means to you, take away the dictionary. What it means to you is what you do relative to salat. Oh, yeah, I know what salat is, but what do you do? Zakat, what does it mean to you? Not the dictionary. What do you do? Because what it really means to you is what you do. So, the cat table's back there. Mashallah, I'm you. Listen, we don't need the cat, but you do. Okay? You need it for your own soul, right? But if you say, okay, yeah, I know about the cat. Yeah, I know about the cat, but then you just keep on walking. Then what does that mean? What does zakat mean? If you do nothing with regard to zakat, then it doesn't mean anything to you. If you do a little, then it means a little to you. You do a lot, then it means a lot to you. Okay? All right. That's what we're talking about marriage. We are. So what does marriage mean? It means, well, what do you do with regard to marriage? Are you making an effort to get married? Are you making an effort to stay married? Are you operating in your marriage in a manner that's designed to build ummah? Remember, the master mission is build ummah. The job's not done till that's done. Ummah is the cathedral that has to be built one brick at a time. Ummah is the cathedral, if you will. Let's make it masjid. That probably is better. Ummah is the masjid, the sacred masjid that is to be built one marriage at a time. And the more solid the marriage, the more solid the structure. The weaker the marriage, the weaker the structure. So then a Muslim who's on that master mission has to have in their mind, am I doing my part? Because if you're not doing that part, if ummah is built out of marriages and you're not doing that part, it's not even at the level of significance and urgency, then you got to ask yourself, what mission am I on? So when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to marry, no, let's do exactly as the Prophet said, what the report said. Whoever Allah helps, or pardon me, whoever Allah provides with a righteous wife, Allah has assisted him in half of his religion. Allah has helped him half his religion. This is very conscious of the male leaning reading of the Quran, and for good reason. It should be, not only for the fact that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said it, so he's like, that's what Allah decided to say. That's what he said. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Take it up with me. Take it up with Allah. The reality is this. Men, even at the time of the Prophet, but then this is also true for the, and continues to be true for the nature of the males, they need much more guidance and direction and correction than the women. Yes, and sisters already know this, brothers, there ain't no news to them. We have to get the news. So much to it. Just touch on one part of it. An-nisa'akum, and I don't even think it says nisa'akum. An-nisa'akum, not even that. No, it doesn't. Nisa'akum harfun lakum. It doesn't say an-nisa'. It says the women. Nisa'akum, your women. Your women, even though that does make it definite. Your women. Harfun lakum. They are cultivated earth. She's ready. You talk about, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Women can truly say, I was born ready. I was created ready. It's men that aren't ready for the women. So Allah is helping us. This is what he said. This is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah provides, let me go ahead and read it. مَنْ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ إِمْرَآةٌ صَالِحَةٌ فَقَدْ أَعْنَاهُ أَنْ أَعْنَاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى شَتْرِ الدِّينِ. It says, whoever Allah provides, it's a provision. A righteous woman is a provision from Allah. And Allah said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever Allah provides a righteous woman, he, Allah, has helped him in half of his way of life. If Allah gives you a righteous woman, Allah has provided that to you, and he has helped you with half of your way of life. You don't think that's a big deal? That's a big deal. Fist it as best I can. I know Allah tries you with us. Now I am speaking from a masculine perspective. And we're tried with each other, but I've already said, and I can demonstrate it biologically, Allahu A'lam, women have been female longer than men have been male. Women are therefore closer to nature than men are. I'm talking about the very generation of us in the womb of our mothers came from a, understand how I'm using the word, big air quotes, came from a deviation from the initial path. Once the sperm and egg get together and form the zygote, then that zygote is feminine. When it says min nafsun wahida in Quran, it can also be tied directly to that biological phenomena of the fact that every zygote is first female. Then as it grows, and then there are hormones that get developed as the creature, quote unquote, grows. And then there's either an inhibition of the male hormone washing over the zygote, the embryo. Listen to what I'm saying. There's either an inhibition of the male hormone in that gestation process, that inhibition allows that creature to continue with no interruption in its natural path, and its natural product will be a female. But in order for there to be a male, then the male hormone, which is in the creature, all the DNA chromosomes, all the rest of that, and the whole package was there when the sperm met the egg. Everything was there. So the wherewithal for the development of the male hormone is there. The mechanism for either releasing or inhibiting it was there. And then Allah makes the decision. We hear it in the hadith where it says after 40 periods, 40 days or whatever, then the decision is made whether it's going to be male or it's going to be female. Well, if it's decided it's going to be female, inhibition of the male hormone, then it goes on. If it's decided it's going to be a male, release of the male hormone, and then it's cultivated into a male. So the track is like this. It's all female. Okay, this one's going to be a male. Okay. What about this one, the female? She just keeps going. That's what I mean when I say she's been feminine longer than we've been masculine. And she's closer to nature, therefore, no changes. She's closer to nature than we are. Naturally, women are better judges of character. I mean, there's so much to be said. Let's finish up. The point is to understand, sisters, that's why we need more of the instruction. And that's why more of the instruction is aimed at the man, because he's the one that needs to find his way back to nature. This is that creature that was burying the girl children alive in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the other ugly things that were done. I was just seeing something the other day about mother and baby homes in Ireland. Look it up. Mother and baby homes in Ireland. unwanted pregnancies, mothers put into something of a prison, the baby is taken, put into the mother and baby's home, et cetera. Some of them just literally just drowned, and I mean literally killed hundreds of thousands over these years, right? And the father was never, the father of these quote-unquote so-called unwanted pregnancies, they were never sought after, indicted, and the women weren't even allowed to even tell them. This is the Catholic Church, mashallah. It's run by the Catholic Church. The women weren't even able to tell, and they weren't, and it is, the church was not interested in who the father was. So you've already ruined one life. We're not going to ruin the life of another person by you bringing him into this. Okay? So this kind of anti-female mindset was not only confined to 7th century Arabs. It comes along with the declaration that Eve is the source of all of our problems. Clitoridomy, unfortunately, you know, there are too many examples for what's happened, so we got to... Okay, so all that is to say, dear brothers and sisters, is that when you hear marriage, what does it mean to you? See, words mean what they make you do. Do you have a sense of urgency to get married if you're not married? This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nature of the female, she's kind of passive. Even though she has the same appetites and same desires that we do as male, but Allah has put in her a nature not to put herself forward so much. So there are women who are more than fit, women who are blessings, that they can bless your life. I know there's a sister back there right now. This is a very small sampling, but I'm telling you, it's out there in the world at large. It's like, man, you don't know what you miss. You need to get with me. I can make your life paradise. There's some women who feel that and who know that and are that. That's a fact. They say, y'all don't know what you're missing. But she can't just come out and say it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if they're Muslims. That's what I'm saying. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same terminology that was used when it says this, that he has helped you in half of your religion, the same one that says the world is filled with provisions and the best provision in the world is a righteous woman. Same term. Imra'atu salihat, al-mar'atu salihat, same thing. The righteous woman is a blessing. In reality, when you find a woman who is a Muslim, she's a Muslim. And she is righteous. And listen, I understand. The only righteous women are not Muslim women. I'm real clear on that. All right? But we as Muslims, Allah has ordered us to seek to live out as much as we possibly can the ideals. But again, you have both. So again, some touchy area right here, right now. But let me just go ahead and cover it. Look, you got some Muslim women who don't live up to their name and their claim, and you have some Christian women, non-Muslim women, who live an Islamic character life better than some Muslim women. I'm just telling you the truth. I got to tell you the truth. So what is it about? It's about the nature of the woman. The nature of the woman can enhance the nature of man to his destiny like nothing else. Imam Ahmed, as we close this, and Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah alayh, he said, there's nothing better for a man than a woman, and there's nothing better for a woman than a man. It's males and females together. And when they are righteous, what's righteous? They believe in God. They believe in goodness. They believe in good character. They practice goodness. They practice good character. That's a good woman. That's a good man. When a good man and a good woman get together, that's what cultivates the excellence of both of them. Separate and apart, the cultivating potential, the realization of potential is not so realized because each one, like seed and soil, have to be together so that the soil can do what it does and the seed can become what it is capable of being. But that union is what marriage is. Without it, we don't reach the destiny that Allah has ordered for us. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله أكبر. Bismillah. So when we talk about to marry is half of the faith, and there's a whole other half to this subject, so we'll just say with this. To marry is half of the faith. There's so many things which in the next segment, inshallah, we'll talk about. There's so many things that marriage brings out. We can say rhetorically that brings to the table. There's so many things that it does. But Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states it in this quote-unquote abstract way. What do you mean abstract? Truth without details. Okay? Is it true that to marry is half of the faith? Yes, it's true to marry is half of the faith. But what are the details? Well, we don't know the details until you look them up, read, study, understand. I want to use an illustration. Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, Rahim Allah. Kobe Bryant's, renowned success, achievement, et cetera, is well established. Okay? For those who don't know, he's an NBA basketball star, legend. And Kobe's skill and accomplishment were grounded in the simple fact of his daily practice. His daily practice included extra hours. He added hours to his practice such that he would come to practice 2 hours early for life, as opposed to just coming during practice. Okay. Practice during the summer in the same way. So those 2 hours coming to practice as opposed to just coming during the summer and on time to practice during regular season, his practice was first one in, last one out. I saw a little Instagram piece on him. This guy, everybody's telling their stories about, getting with Kobe, right? So this guy was on the team. So he was new, comes on, and Kobe said, "You ready to black out? You ready to black out?" So the guy said, "What are you talking about? Like, come on, man, let's go." So Kobe took him through one of his workouts. He blacked out. And then Kobe said, "Hey, you went and get your lunch, give you breakfast, whatever it is. Are you ready to go again?" That's Kobe. Okay? His practice and his regimen was such that after just 5 years of this, no matter what his competitors did in the summer and at regular practice, they would never be able to catch him. So if you're a guy, yeah, you're in the NBA, but you only come summertime, just before it's time to get there, and then you only come on time. And then during the regular season, yeah, you come to all the practices. Allen Iverson, I think about. Yeah, you come to all the practices, but you come on time and you leave as soon as it's over. I'm still there after that, Kobe. So the differential between what kind of work you're putting in and what kind of work I'm putting in is like, come on, we could be on the court. And, you know, some of y'all know, Kobe was such that, man, this dude, he ain't serious. He on his team. He ain't serious. He passed the ball, Kobe. No, man. You ain't going to make that shot. I'm going to make this shot. You can be mad if you want to, man. You need to step your game up. Be real about this thing right here. So what is all this to say? To say what? Kobe is stellar and exceptional because he had a work ethic like others didn't have. Muhammad Ali was the same. Ali said, I succeeded because I was willing to do what others were unwilling to do to get themselves ready. All right. So we can say Kobe's work ethic was half of his success. Take away that work ethic from Kobe, we don't have this conversation. So we can say Kobe's work ethic was half of his success. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's telling us your success as a Muslim in Islam, in this way of life, half of it depends on being married and married well. Listen, you find them. You find your example. Yeah, you got a whole lot of people in the world. Got money. All those kinds. Is that what success is? Okay, so you got my point. So now, I did have a conversation with my wife in regard to aspects of this conversation because I am supremely, inshallah, this is no boast, anything. I'm grateful for my spirit and attitude towards marriage. I'm grateful. You know, Prophet Muhammad, thank you for your patience. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have the Quranic language, the Quran itself, the life of the Arabic before the coming of the Quran was something that God did. God cultivated that original Arabic language to be the host for his final revelation. God made that language, that's not Mauritanian or Moroccan or Egyptian or Sudanese Arabic. That Quran? No. That's God's language. That he grew up in the human geography and soil of a people. That's what's in the Quran. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was birthed to be the repository and the carrier and the expositor of the Quran. And Allah cultivated him. So the language is being cultivated. And the receptacle is being cultivated. Prophet Muhammad, young boy, shepherd boy, different time. He's here partying going on in Mecca. He's out there with the animals. He wants to go to the party. It's natural. He started heading for the party, fell asleep. Woke up, party's over. Right? It happened a second time, and then he just gave up. Like, I ain't even trying to do that. I never get there anyway. Why? Because Allah was protecting him. Allah was preserving him. You have a bigger mission. Right? If you guys knew that guy from Sabrani Park, that some of y'all guys sometimes, talk about. You knew that guy? You would never imagine this guy. It wouldn't even enter your mind. You know, this dude's going to hell for sure. whatever, right? I was a good boy. So, Skyline High School, meet Yolanda, and let's make it short. And the rest is history. But this dude, he had a couple of times he was messing up the cha-cha. Cha-cha was going cool. And he got off beat. Wait. And he got put back on beat. He's like, yeah, well, I better keep this cha-cha going, because, man, you about to mess up the whole thing right there. So what is it? That's Allah's protection. So I'm telling you, I'm simply speaking to you from the perspective of someone who loves and who has experienced what I'm talking about. And I have great empathy and sympathy for our sisters, just like I had for my mother. My mother had two divorces from guys that weren't doing what was right. And she suffered what she had to suffer. And she got us all, her children, she got us all through it intact and advancing. But mashallah, when I went to her house after she passed away, I found some of her papers. She was a journaler. And she told things to herself in those papers that I didn't know about. How much she aspired, how much she suffered, how much she wanted independence, how much she had been hurt by her husband. But if you're not in touch with that, you would never know what she had to suffer through to get where she got. Brother, trying to say to you, we as men, we are woefully short when we neglect worthy women, righteous women, seeking them as mates. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't think that's something that we're going to be questioned on? I remember a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw a young man, healthy, strapping. He looked at him and he said, what's your name? He tells him his name. He said, are you healthy? And he said, yeah. He said, are you married? He said, no. And the Prophet said, then you're a brother of the devil. That's what the report said. Whether it's sahih or not, I don't know. But it is a report. What I'm trying to say, brothers, got to get on that marriage train. No, you have to. You have to. And there's always stuff to be worked out, so I'm just going to have to leave that part hanging right there, and there'll be more. Inshallah, if Allah blesses us with life, we'll say more next. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. فله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Father, we thank you for your graces and your blessings. Father, we know that you hold our hearts between your fingers. No, Allah, we know you can turn us to or away from faith as it is your will. Oh Allah, turn our hearts to faith. Oh Allah, enlighten us. Oh Allah, help us to see where we're blind. Help us to understand what we don't understand. Oh Allah, deepen our conviction. Deepen our faith. Deepen our practice. Enhance our vocabulary with the right behavior. For Allah, we need your help. Without your help, we are helpless. For Allah, bless us to hold marriage high and sacred. For Allah, bless us to acknowledge in the best way how important marriage is to the establishment of Ummah, which is our universal mission. For Allah, we need your help. Help us. Ameen. Wa alaikum as-salam. شكرا. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. استغفر الله يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الله أكبر. First, Shahadatain and Stu, we have begun the session, meaning that we had the introductory session, meaning just introduction, literally, last week. The first formal class of instruction is going to be this Sunday. In order to get the full benefit of Shahadatain and Stu, you have to complete 70% of the course. The course round figures 18 weeks based on the way things are flowing with vacations and or rather days off. So I'm saying this so that the Shahadatain and Stu, if you have an interest in being a part of, you know someone who is interested in being a part of it, then for the next 3 weeks, those you can still get in. But when you come after that, if you come after that, then you won't be able to complete the course. In the next cycle, whatever you're missing, if you complete the 70%, you still get certified, but you will have to complete the course in the next round if you've missed so many classes. I'm saying this to say that you don't have to miss those classes. And the main focus is intended for interested non-Muslims and people who have been Muslim for less than 2 years. So you don't have to be a Muslim, you just have to be interested. And we are even considering those who have been Muslims for longer than that, but if your foundation is and you're not driven for controversy and whatever else, then you can be considered. So there's a sign up sheet in the back, sabilillah@aol.com, sabilillah@aol.com, whoever is just listening, you can send an email in requesting to be added to the Shahadatain class, and depending on where you fit into the schema, you'll either hear from me or you'll be confirmed as enrolled in the class. So inshallah, that's going on. The first formal section is going to be this Sunday at 12, Sunday at 12. And they go from 12 to 1:30 every Sunday. Also, the men's group will on tomorrow have monthly conference call, and also happy birthday to Tarlina Amir Balantin. That's her big day tomorrow, inshallah. And we want to keep in our condolences, Brother Dale Rahman and family whose mother passed from this life yesterday. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And congratulations to Isa Shaheed for being selected one of KIPP High School's 10th grade class Royal Court attendance in Atlanta yesterday. So that great DNA and that education keeps flowing from 1652 47th Avenue all the way to ATL. Allahu Akbar. All right, check out all the books that are there and available for you. You should have them anyway. Whether you read them right away or not, doesn't matter. Get them, put them in your library, and inshallah, add them to your reading menu, inshallah. I think that's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's my brother? Inshallah, how's my brother? Good to see you, man. Good? How's the store?
Pretty good.
Good. I'd love to help.